Well, this morning, if you would, why don't we turn to Luke chapter 8 this morning. We had finished chapter 7 in our last study, and we had kind of concluded with a gal who had followed Jesus into a very religious person's home, a Pharisee's home. And Jesus graciously accepted the invitation to go and eat dinner at the Pharisee's home. And as Jesus sat there and was at the table, reclined, there was a woman who had come and was washing his feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair. And she had kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. It was a display of just tremendous love. She had heard earlier of the statement Jesus had made about, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. And she had heard that statement and was very drawn to Jesus. She needed rest. This was a woman that people around town knew. She was a harlot, so she was not someone that was unfamiliar to the community. And just her display of the need for forgiveness and her affection for the Lord was just a remarkable thing. The religious leader thought, well, my goodness, you know, if this guy was really a prophet, he'd know who this person was, and he wouldn't even let her near him. How much the religious people of the world misunderstand the person of Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy for us to misunderstand the Lord and his love, you know, and his affection for others, his compassion on your need, his compassion on my need. And the religious guy, you know, really kind of had challenged Jesus about this, and Jesus really went through and, you know, was very clear with him about, well, golly, you didn't even, you know, as it's even just customary, a common courtesy, as you would have had a servant there and washed my feet and cared for me when I came into your home, but, you know, you didn't even do that. This person who you think is nobody and nothing is doing more for me than you are even considering doing. Religiosity just stinks. Religion stinks. It's a waste of time. It gets no one anywhere. It provides nothing as far as the kingdom's concerned at all. And I think a lot of people get real offended when I talk like that. That's good. I hope the religion in society just becomes radically offended and just turns to Jesus Christ and true relationship. Because that's really what it's all about. This gal was on the right track, and Jesus honored that. Because she was on the right track, she just wanted Jesus. She wasn't trying to get religion. She was trying to have a relationship with Jesus. And really, that's what we need. We need that relationship with Jesus. Now, he kind of goes through this whole thing and ends up in verse 47. He declares that her sins are forgiven because she loved much and she was forgiven much, and it was a reciprocated thing between her and the Lord. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little, he says. And then he says to her, your sins are forgiven. And they reasoned, these other religious people around the table reasoned, well, you know, my goodness, you know, who does he think he is actually, you know, bestowing forgiveness upon anybody? Who is he? Only God can forgive. Well, that might be just the point. You know, he is declaring his deity. He is God. He is able to forgive. And he says to her in verse 50, and this is kind of where we pick up our thought and get into chapter 8, because Jesus is going to be discussing faith. And as he says this in verse 50, he says, then he says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And I think it's interesting that he didn't say, the love that you have for me has saved you. The way you've cared for me, the way you've washed my feet has saved you. The way you've ministered to me has saved you. He didn't say any of that. Religion seeks to establish righteousness, a right standing before God by means of one's own efforts. And you guys are going to have this memorized because I say it regularly. But it's an important, important concept. Religion seeks to establish its righteousness by a means of one's own efforts. And we too can fall prey to that. Trying to make ourselves right with God, appease God by our actions, our efforts. And God says, you know what? I love you and I accept you just as you are. I want to have a relationship with you. And I want you to grow and I want you to flourish. I want you to be fruitful. But it's going to be based out of that relationship. And that relationship is based on faith. Now, there is no doubt the forgiveness was there and the love was displayed. But he says, your faith has saved you. The faith that she had, believing on him, believing that he could forgive her, that he had the capacity to forgive her. And that faith is what saved. I think it's important that we grab a hold of that idea and that concept. So it's not our actions that save. And it wasn't even though he commended her for her tremendous love. That wasn't what saved her. It was her faith in him and his ability to forgive. The trusting that God brought his son Jesus Christ into her presence, just like God brings Jesus into our presence, reveals him to us by the power of his Holy Spirit, and we open our lives up to him. And so here we sit today, this morning, and you know, God has forgiven us. Those of us who are Christians today, we're washed and cleansed of our sins. And we begin this journey. It starts with that little bit of faith where we say yes to God. But it never stops right there. We keep saying yes to God. Faith is an action word. It's active. It's always moving. You know, God wants to continue that work. And so we're going to talk about that today as we get into chapter 8. Now, chapter 8 kind of divides fairly neatly. Not quite in half, but somewhat close. When we hit verse 21, it kind of cuts in half right there. And the first from verses 1 through 21 is really a discussion regarding or a teaching regarding faith. So first there's the teaching, right? And this is what we learn when we go through this from time to time. We catch this. First there's the teaching, and then there's the testing. You know, those of you who remember that when you're in school, same thing happens. Same thing happens in all of our lives. There's the teaching that Jesus does, and then he tests to see, hey, so did you get this? Is this resonating? Is this connecting in our hearts and our minds? First, there's the teaching. And so he's going to give this teaching in the first 21 verses regarding faith. Now, it came to pass in verse 1 afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom. Just sharing with them all about the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom came 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, you can pronounce that as you like, as always, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. These were those who had heard the word as they were being ministered to and responded. You know, Jesus went around preaching, and it was interesting that what it was that he was preaching, what it was that he was sharing about. No doubt Jesus spent a considerable amount of time, there's no doubt about this, a considerable amount of time, it's a fact, on the reality of hell. There's no doubt about that. Jesus spent a considerable amount of time teaching on the literal reality of hell. But as he would go around preaching and teaching, though he spoke about that, the primary focus was the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. You know, the reality that hell exists is one aspect to spirituality. That it exists. But the counterpart, the part that's so important is that we don't have to face that. Our world doesn't have to face that. Humanity does not have to face that. And thus we want to bring the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. preaching, teaching, sharing about the good news, the glad tidings. You see, really, brothers and sisters, you have a great message. I have a great message. We have a great thing to share with other people. You know, these are times where all kinds of uncertainty exists. You know? You watch all of a sudden, now all of a sudden we're alarmed. Could be a pandemic, you know, with the swine flu, you know? Okay. Well, gosh, I hope we don't get it, but, you know, I mean, okay. The economy's come unglued. World global economy, it's unglued. We're at war in various parts of the globe. The United States is. There's a lot of people in the world that don't care for us because of the way we've handled ourselves or whatever, their choice. I'm just saying, you spread this out around, it can sound really get all doomsday-ish and bummer-ish and everything, but that's not the message that we have to share, is it? That is a reality that exists in our world today. But is that your focus? Is that to be my focus? My focus is to be on the glad tidings. Your focus is to be on the glad tidings, the good news about the kingdom of God. And that Jesus is alive. Jesus forgives. Jesus can wash and cleanse sin and unrighteousness in our lives. And we can experience the joy and the excitement of everlasting life even as we live this life out. We can enjoy everlasting life, knowing our ultimate destination is to be with him. So Jesus is sharing this, and the importance of, really, as he's teaching about faith, the importance is hearing the word. That importance of hearing it. And they were hearing it, and those women that were hearing it were also receiving it. We just see a practical application here as they received it, and they began to just minister to Jesus. There were many that were traveling with him, and a lot of these, in particular, these women that were mentioned here, and many others, other women that were there, they provided for them, for Jesus, out of what they had. Whatever they had, they provided for Jesus. I just think it's awesome that they just decided, man, you know what? We're going to make sure he's cared for. Now, we got to think about Jesus for a second, being the Son of God. Well, you know, I'm kind of hungry. I'm feeling a bit like a T-bone steak today. You know? And so, you know, he's God. He spoke the world into being. Certainly a T-bone steak isn't too big a deal if he's hungry, right? Now think through this with me. Just practically think through this with me. Yet, Jesus has these gals coming alongside and us partnering. We see this consistently in Scripture. Coming along and partnering with him. Jesus receives their service, their ministry to him. You see, this is what's exciting to me as we gather together and we worship the Lord together. Jesus receives our worship of him. Jesus doesn't need that. Jesus is God. He is complete. But he wants to receive that from you. You are a contributor. You're a part of it. And Jesus here, he could have done anything he wanted, however he wanted. And yet he chose to be in that spot where he received that ministry as they served and cared for him. Man, what a great thing. Now, as he preached, we also notice in verse 4, and when a great multitude had gathered. So as he preached, there was this big multitude that started to gather around. You know, talking about good things, things of the kingdom, is an encouraging thing to us. When we go through the Word, we have to talk about all of the Word, you know, from Genesis to Revelation. We cover the Word of God. And so we cover all of it, you know, but the main emphasis is it all is pointing to the person of Jesus Christ, and his whole thing was talking about the kingdom, the good things of who he is and what God's all about and God's favor and his forgiveness. And man, this is what we want to be talking about. Yeah, there's all kinds of problems. There's all kinds of issues. There's all kinds of things going on. But what's the solution? What's the help? What's the hope? And the reality is that this tent's going to wear out. But my hope's not in this tent. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one day we will be with him. And so I think we got to keep our eyes fixed on eternity. The great multitudes kind of gathered as he's sharing, you know, preaching the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. People start gathering around, and they had come to him from every city. And he spoke by a parable. And we've talked about this, but the importance of a parable. What is a parable specifically? It's something that basically means to cast alongside. So to cast alongside, it's a truth that's kind of told in a story form. So he casts, it literally means just cast alongside. And it's this story that's told that's got truth in it. And it's for those who are listening for the truth. This gets important as he starts to talk about this particular parable. What is the context? And what do we start out with? What do we start out with? Do we start out with love? Do we start out, what do we start out with? This chapter 8 is talking about what? Faith. He's talking about faith. Stay with this because, man, this is life-changing. This parable is awesome. The sower, in verse 5, went out to sow seed, Jesus said. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So he's kind of hollering out to the group, hey, listen up, basically. Tune in. Don't miss this, basically, is what he's saying. Listen carefully. This is important, is the emphasis that he's making. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then the disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Something that is really unveiled, this idea of mysteries, is not something that's hidden any longer. It's open to you to know. He's making it known, this idea of these mysteries, these truths that are there. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it is given in parables that, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear, or hearing they may not understand. So what are you saying then? Are you saying that Jesus is implying that he is sharing this out there and he's not really revealing all of this to everyone? So he's selectively sharing this with certain people that he wants to have relationship with them? Or what exactly is he saying? But to the rest, it is given in parables that seeing they may not see. So they're seeing this, but they don't really grasp it. They're hearing it, but they don't really have any understanding of it. What is the implication here? Well, truly, what is simply being stated is that to those who are listening, those who are looking for truth, if you are really a seeker of the truth, if you really want to know the truth, God is going to reveal through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, the truth to your heart, to my heart. I never worry when someone tells me, man, I'm all messed up, but man, I'm looking for the truth. I'm really seeking that I might find the truth. I don't worry about people like that. Because people that are really sincere, looking for the truth, they're going to end up at Jesus Christ. God's not turning people away. The doors aren't locked. Thank the Lord for that. You know, God's not turning people away. That's not the point. It's that
He would not want to force himself on him. He is God. Jesus is God. Can you imagine the draw? Just because he was preaching the kingdom, multitudes are coming to him. As he's sharing these truths, he could be that persuasive. You have to understand that. But it's still got to be an individual decision. Because love forced isn't love. It has to be the choice. Truly, forced love is rape in that sense. And so Jesus isn't forcing himself on anyone. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into them and have fellowship with them and them with me. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on anybody. But Jesus is God. He could be so persuasive and that they would just be drawn right in. But it needs to be an individual choice. People need to want God. We need to recognize our poverty and our need for God. And Jesus talked about that a chapter or two earlier. It's been given to you. That's the exciting part. It's been given to you. It's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. God has revealed them to us. He's given us understanding. And now he begins to share this parable as it unfolds. He explains this to them. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. How did this gal get saved? Just in verse 50 of chapter 7. How did she get saved? Her faith, right? Her faith. The seed is the word of God. I believe our connection there is very important, because how did faith happen? Romans 10:17 tells us how faith happens very clearly. I'd encourage you to turn to it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. How does faith come into a person's life? How does faith happen? Romans 10:17. So then, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is Jesus talking about in all of chapter 8? Faith. What is he sowing? The seed of the word. Why would he want to sow the seed of the word in a heart? So that faith can begin to germinate. So that faith can begin to develop in our lives as believers. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want you to turn to another scripture that I think really ties to this interestingly. In 1 Peter, in the first chapter. Something that kind of struck me when I taught through it recently in another study in Midtown. In verse 22 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter. If you find 2 Peter, obviously you've gone a little bit too far. So, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The seed of the word of God. You and I were born of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. That word that was spoken to you by faith, you receive in your heart. You heard the word, hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear the word, faith begins to, the seed is planted. It begins to germinate, and faith begins to develop. If you want to increase the faith in God, increase your time and your that you spend trying to go through the Word, because the Word builds up your faith.
You begin to understand who God is more. You begin to trust in Him more. Faith is developed as the seed of God's word is implanted into your heart, the soil of your heart, the soil of my heart. And now we've been born again, not of this life, you know, just of the seed of this life of humanity that is corruptible. We will perish. But it is the incorruptible seed, the word of God. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, the seed of the word, drawn in, enjoying that, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Man, if that's happening in your life, we should be drawn, we should desire. That is a natural thing that happens. Babies are hungry, you know. You can hear them crying. They want to eat. They need to be nourished. Interesting, too, and we talk about this from time to time, but the mother's milk contains a lot of not only nutrients, but a lot of things that help to protect a baby from becoming ill. There's some great things in that, that just that illustration there. And we should be drawn in. It helps us. So it may not prevent bird flu or swine flu or some other flu, but man, the Word of God certainly keeps us spiritually healthy and gets us to our ultimate destination as faith is being developed in our lives. We've got to move along or we won't even get through the first 21 verses. This parable, the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. I think we have a pretty good, and again, the context is what? Faith. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We're starting to make these connections. We've been born of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. We're part of that family, God's family now, because of the word of God that's been placed in our lives. Those by the wayside, as he goes on and explains, Jesus explains his parable, are the ones who hear. Now, everybody is hearing the same word, right? We're all hearing the same word. Those ones who hear, the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So immediately they hear it, but they get ripped off right away. Because Satan just comes and just says, man, you've got to be kidding me. You really believe what this guy's talking about? You've got to be kidding me. That is the stupidest thing that could ever exist on the face of this earth. It makes no practical sense whatsoever. This is the worldly mindset. It makes no sense. And yet it's the only thing that really does make any sense. But the worldly mindset, it just gets, we get ripped off. They hear it. It kind of sounds good, but they hear it, but they get just ripped off for it. Notice that's the first person. The second one, those are the ones, the seed falls on the rock. They hear it. They receive the word with joy. Yes, this is exciting. This bears witness. I want this. And these have no root who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. All of a sudden, they're being tested and they just drift off. It just doesn't take root. Remember, we talked about the necessity of becoming rooted and grounded in the word of God. Rooted and grounded. We want our roots to run deep in our relationship with the Lord. And how is that going to happen? That's not going to happen apart from this, brothers and sisters. It's not going to happen apart from this. We need the Word of God to give us instruction in our lives, to minister, to feed, to care for us. And to me, at a very young age, that process should start. We were reading cartoon Bibles, you know. It was pretty cool. I learned a lot, too. We were reading cartoon Bibles to our kids from the time they could have any comprehension whatsoever. That doesn't mean we didn't pray over him and pray with him and pray for him and all that stuff too. But man, we were reading the word, reading the word, reading the word. It makes a lasting lifetime difference in our lives. But they heard it. There are those that heard it. They receive it with joy. There's some kind of an emotion that's attached to it. But in time, when they're going through a time of testing, they just get ripped off and they fall away. It becomes difficult. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns, this is the third group, they are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Again, all three of these heard the same word. All three of them. And when we go on, there's a fourth one. So all four are hearing the same message. The same truth is being shared with all. Everybody heard the same thing. And yet, there's these three groups already. And we watch this over and over again. This is an unfortunate reality. And this is the importance of, man, making sure we're encouraging people to stay in the Word. This is why we go through the Word. What develops our faith in our relationship with God? The Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's so clear for us. We've been born of that incorruptible seed. We've been born into the kingdom of God, not because someone talked to us into it with some persuasive thing. No, but because we received that into the soil of our hearts. So the soil of your heart, the soil of my heart, when we get together, and this is why I pray, Lord, as we open our Bibles, we want to open our hearts. We want to hear from you. We want to worship and prepare the soil of our hearts to receive the Word. Now, I can't worship on your behalf. We can try to facilitate an environment, but you have to come with a mindset, a heart, a desire to hear from the Lord. And that's not based on my feeling or your feeling. That's not based on our feelings. It's not what it's talking about. It's not our feelings. We walk by what? Faith, not feelings. And so it's real important for us to grasp these things and kind of let these things get into our lives. What were the things that choked the fruitfulness of the Word as it goes out? Cares. So the first one, the cares, is it represents this idea, this concept of the need and my worry of provision and my worries about this life. So, man, I'm not sure how I'm going to take care of this. I'm not sure how I'm going to pay that. I'm not sure how this is going to work out. And so I become absorbed and consumed with trying to care for, and I'm worried about, and I'm obsessed with those things. And it begins to choke the fruitfulness of the Word out of my life. The cares. Riches. Riches is the almost the flip side of it. It's becoming more consumed with what am I going to do with what I've got, you know, and how am I going to do this and how am I going to buy that and what am I going to do? And, you know, and it's just more consumed with the stuff part of everything, and which leads into the next thing, which is pleasures of life. You know, how am I going to please myself more with this thing or with this activity, you know, and this function and this thing that I'm going to do here? And, you know, so cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. You know, it's funny, but anytime you are watching anything, the news or anything, any of the commercials will tie to those three things. Either trying to help you with your, whatever your, you know, obsession is with the problem, or it's bent on trying to get you to spend your money on this, you know, on your, take your money and do this with it. Or it's, hey man, you really need to experience this, the pleasures of this part of life. You're missing it. You've got to go to this place and do this and take this thing and that, you know. It's all those three things keep showing up over and over again. It's the same thing. It chokes the fruitfulness of the Word that was implanted in our hearts.
But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Keep it. It got tucked away in there. You ever germinated seeds before? Dare I say what I've germinated, but have you ever germinated seeds before? Well, you can put them in a paper towel, a little paper towel, or a little washcloth, and you just kind of dampen it. And in time, they'll start to germinate and they'll start to sprout. And the sprouts need to get into the dirt so that they can continue to grow, because there's nutrients and stuff in the dirt. They need to have stuff for the roots to grow down, and then you can keep watering and they grow. What are you guys thinking about? I was talking about a tomato plant. What are you guys thinking about? Anyway, goodness. So the seed germinates. It begins to sprout. So you think about that. If you don't get it out of the washcloth and get it into the soil, what's going to happen? It just kind of withers away. It's like the one that's on the stony ground, right? There's no way for it to tap out and get into roots, get nutrients or anything. It's just kind of there. It isn't meant to stay in the washcloth, the damp washcloth. It sprouts, but it needs to develop in another environment. The seed, as it's implanted in our lives, needs to go into our hearts, in good soil in our lives. And the importance is how you hear. Everybody heard the same thing, but how did they hear? We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, before we go on, they bore fruit. And one of the ways, not only did they keep it, it was in the soil in their hearts, in the soil in their lives. They kept it in the soil. The soil was tilled and it was good soil. And it sprung forth and it had fruit with it then as time went by. Patience is an important thing. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. Can't emphasize it enough. The word goes out. It goes into your heart. It goes into my heart. You get the concept. We want immediate, now results. We want it to be, we want that area that God's spoken to our lives. We want immediate correction. We want immediate dealing with. We don't want to work at it and just be patient and let God have His way in time. The Bible describes this in other places in the Word where, man, in due season, if you do not lose heart, you'll reap the harvest. That's patience. In due season, if you do not lose heart. So patience comes into play. I think oftentimes, as we receive the Word into our lives and we see what God's maybe wanting to do in our hearts, we start to begin to become impatient. I want that developed in my life now. Well, character takes time, doesn't it? Character takes testing. Faith has to be tested. Faith has to be gone through the process. And so right now he's explaining about what faith is like, how it works, you know, the teaching on it, and then he's going to do the testing in a little bit. So right now we're just in the great part of it where we're just really enjoying the teaching part. Man, we want to be those in that fourth group. Man, they heard the word. And with a noble and good heart, they kept it. They tucked it away. They kept it. They didn't just discard it. Do you know what I'm saying? When we can hear something, the Lord can be ministering to us, and then we can just go away and we can just discard it. We can do nothing with it. We oftentimes will just set it aside and say, you know, I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that issue some other time. That is when the word has, you've heard it. God's wanting to do something with it, but you didn't keep it. Maybe the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things came in and it choked the word. Maybe that word just landed in kind of a stony spot in your heart. It sprouted up. It seemed like it was a good plan. But then, you know, it became a little bit of a difficult thing. So it just kind of withered off. Maybe Satan came and just ripped you off. Maybe that area of your life just needs an infusion of the word that the faith might grow. Jesus goes on as he's teaching on this
this truth and says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, in verse 16, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. And this is what faith does. It sheds light in otherwise dark circumstances. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. And look at what he says in verse 18. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. So there is some kind of instruction that Jesus is teaching, something that Jesus is wanting us to know about how we're hearing, because only one out of four, so 25% actually heard, and it took good benefit or good effect in their lives. They all heard the same thing. It's take heed how you hear. They all heard the same thing, so it wasn't what they heard, was it? It's not what you're hearing right now. It's how you are hearing it. Is it going into your life? Are you going to let it take root? Are you going to let it germinate and sprout forth and bear fruit? You see, take heed. Look at what he says after he says this. Take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. I don't understand. I'm just in this dry season. I read and I read and I'm just not getting anything out of it. Okay. Is there a problem with God's word, do you think? I don't think so, usually. There's nothing wrong with God's word. Well, maybe it's how we're hearing. Maybe we ought to take heed how we hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. If you're receiving the A, B, C, D, E, you're receiving that part. You're receiving what God's speaking to you. You're hearing what the Lord's speaking to your heart. God's going to continue to give you more. More of himself. He will continue to reveal more of himself. But why would he throw just information after information with no retention, with no growth, with no development? That's to your harm. That's not to your good. Because to whom much is given, much more is required. So as God gives out that, he's going to require that of you. Think of the great responsibility that we have as a ministry, as a church, because we actually teach through and spend so much time with an emphasis on the Word of God. Think of our responsibility. You know, before the Lord, what our focus should be. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. Well, nothing was done with it. The first three got ripped off, didn't they? The first three that we talked about got ripped off. We're still in the same context. The first three got ripped off. Even what they had, they got ripped off for. Even what they had. Why? Didn't take heed to how they were hearing. Not what. We're all hearing the same thing. It's how. Is it landing in your heart? Is it taking root? Is it having an impact? Is it bearing fruit? Is God doing something in your life with his word? That's a personal thing to think through, to work through, and let God sort out for you. Man, take heed how you hear. Then his mother and his brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd, and was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. This idea implies a perfect place for the division to set place, because as soon as we hit verse 22 in our next study, we'll start in the second part of this lesson, but Jesus did the teaching, and now he's going to start the testing. Brothers and sisters, there's no avoiding it. First comes the teaching, then comes the testing. We have to accept this. Teaching, testing. It's just the way it works. That's how God does things in our lives. And we want to embrace it. And I can't do it. You can't do it. We can't do it on our own. We need the power of His Holy Spirit. We need God to help us so that we can do what God would purpose for us to do, that we might yield our lives over to Him. But those who hear the Word of God, so it's that teaching of by faith, that teaching on faith, hear it, and then heed it. Do exactly what He says and do it. And so we'll get into the "and do it" in our next message. Some great things to think on. My, if the Lord could open our hearts that we might receive and really hear what the Word would speak to our hearts today. Man, faith comes by hearing. If you're in a dry time in your journey, if you're just feeling like you're not getting much out of your time with the Lord, man, ask the Lord to help you to hear. Take heed how you hear. Think through what you're doing with what you're hearing from the Lord. That's where it all comes together. The Word's going to be planted in your life, in my life. God wants it to grow. God's not going to force Himself on you. He's not going to force Himself on me. He wants it to grow. But you and I need to let it go into good soil in our lives. And then you and I will become more and more fruitful. And as you and I are more and more fruitful, we begin to really enjoy our lives. You know, when you have a big grove, and you walk through the grove, and man, you look at some of the trees, man, they're just, man, they got just all this fruit all over them. And you know, you look at it, you just go, yes, what an awesome deal that is, man. And then you go down a few rows, and there's this one over there, and it's just, what a bummer, man. I think he's just struggling, you know. But you know, a good husbandman, you know, the one who really cares for the grove, goes over and kind of trims it a little bit, gets in there, tills the soil a little bit, gets plenty of nutrients around there, makes sure it's got plenty of water and good light, cares for it, and is patient, and it'll come back time after time, and eventually it's going to have all the fruit on it too. Are you going to let the Lord be a good husbandman to you? He wants to. He's our good shepherd. He wants to till that soil in our hearts. He longs for you and I to be fruitful. He wants to come to the garden, the gatherings, your life, my life, the garden, and enjoy the fruit of His presence in your life. He wants that. He enjoys that. And so I think it's worth it for us to grab a hold of this and to think through, Lord, I want to take heed how I hear. I want to be fruitful. You know, when you're sharing with someone, don't forget to take a minute and till the soil. Take a minute and till the soil. Build a bridge. Interact with someone. It takes a little bit of time. It takes a little bit of effort, but it'll be fruitful. Take the time. It's worth it.